Today's daf is about Basra daf Yud Aleph. We left off on daf Yud Amud Beis. We are holding in the middle of a discussion of a challenge that a Rebbe gave to his Talmidim. So what happened? We had learned that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai challenged his Talmidim to give a pshat in the pasuk Tzedakah Tromim Gai V'Chesed Lu'umim Chatas. Yesterday we learned the first two answers that the Talmidim gave. Rabbi Eliezer answered that Tzedakah Tromim Gai means that when Klal Yisrael gives Tzedakah, we're uplifted. Chesed Lu'umim Chatas means when Umos Ha'olam gives Tzedakah, it's considered an Aveira for them because they're only doing it to increase their own honor, to increase their own kavod, lis gadelbo. That's the only reason that they're giving the tzedakah. The Gemara had asked, what do you mean? Isn't that okay? Aren't you allowed to give tzedakah? Almanas to be mekabel schar, to be mekabel pras? Isn't it okay? A person who gives tzedakah, almanas yichya b'ni, something of that nature, that's okay. That's a tzadik gomor in the midst of tzedakah. So why is it a problem if they give tzedakah in that way? So the Gemara had said that there's a chilik between Goyim giving tzedakah and Jews giving tzedakah. When it comes to Jews giving tzedakah, even if we're doing it for the wrong reasons, even if we're doing it almanas yichya b'ni, etc., that's a tzadik gamur. When it comes to a non-Jew giving tzedakah, if they're giving it for those reasons, it's not good. Frekt Tosfos Maseches Pesachim. Doesn't the Mishnah in Avos say Al Yu Ka'avadim Amshamshnes Harav Al Menas LeKabel Pras? How could we say that a person who gives tzedakah Al Menas Sheyichya Bini or Al Menas Sheeskel L'Chay Olam Haba is a tzadik gamur? Now, it's one thing to say that it's a good thing to do, that he should give the tzedakah anyway, even though he's not lishma. Like the Gemara in Pesachim says, Shemitok shalo lishma, ba lishma, that not doing it lishma is not the best, but still, it's better than nothing at all. So let him give it shalo lishma, and then ultimately it will come lishma. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says much more than that. The Gemara says he's a tzaddik gamur. So how can we say he's a tzaddik gamur in light of the Mishnah in Avos that you're not supposed to be mishamish hasarav al menas lekabel pras? So Tosfos Maseches Pesachim Daf Ches is mitaretz that the Mishnah in Avos is talking about a person who gives tzedakah to the point that he says that if the schar that I want does not happen, then I'm going to regret having given the tzedakah in the first place. Such a shalol lishma is a terrible shalol lishma. That's a shalol lishma that it's that the person is doing something terrible and he's not supposed to do. But when a person does something shalol lishma and he'll be happy about the doing the mitzvah, even if the schar that he was hoping for doesn't come true, then such a shalol lishma is a fine shalol lishma, and that's something that he's a tzadik gamur in the mitzvah of tzedakah. So our sugya is talking about someone who's not going to be mischarit, he's not going to regret having given the tzedakah, even if the schar that he was hoping for doesn't come true. That's how Tosfos mitaretz Maseches Pesachim. The Yad Ramah is mitaretz a little differently. The Yad Ramah writes that a Jew says, Al Menas Sheyichya B'ni, what do you think his intention is Sheyichya B'ni? Not stam for his own hana that his son should be okay, but it's L'Shem Shemayim, that he should have a child. Why do Jews have children? So that it's L'Shem Shemayim, that our children should be Osik B'Torah Mitzvos. What's our number one concern for our children? Is that they should be Ovdei Hashem, that they should be Yosek and Torah Mitzvos. So it's all L'Shem Shemayim. If he says She'eskel Chayim Olam Haba, also it's not for Anos Atzmo, it's because in Olam Haba, you're that much closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. You have that much more Yedias Hashem. So it's all L'Shem Shemayim. And therefore, it's not considered Oved Al Menas L'Kabel Pras when you have these conditions in mind. It's Dafka the Gemara gave these ideas of She'yichya B'ni and She'eskel Chayim Olam Haba, because those ideas can be interpreted as things that are L'Shem Shemayim. That's when you're a tzadik gamur. But when a guy gives tzedakah al-manas for whatever, for Yichya B'ni or L'Skadalbo, he's not doing it L'Shem Shemayim, he's doing it L'Hanas Atzmo, and that's where it's not going to be considered a mitzvah, that's where it's going to be considered an Avera. So that was the first answer given. Then we saw yesterday the second answer of what the explanation of the pasuk is, that tzedakah d'romim gai, again, is a reference to Klal Yisrael, when we give tzedakah or uplifted. Chesed l'umim chatas is that any chesed that the non-Jews do is going to be considered a chet for them, because they're only doing it to extend their malchus. They're only doing it because they want their malchus to last longer. Now we're up to the third pshat, third wide line. Nena Rabban Gamliel, Va'amar Rabban Gamliel then answered, he says, no, I have a different pshat in pasuk. Tzedakah Tromim Gai, Elu Yisrael. First half of the pasuk I translate just like everyone else. Tzedakah Tromim Gai is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Dichsiv U'mikamcha Yisrael, V'gomer, right, Goyach Abar, it's a Klal Yisrael is considered a Goy. The chesed l'umim chatas, and chesed l'umim chatas refers to the following. Called tzedakah v'chesed sha'akum osin, chetu lahen. Any tzedakah v'chesed that the akum do, that the ovdei kochavim do, is considered an avera for them, shein osin elo l'hisyaher bo, because they're only doing it to be arrogant through it. V'kalam hisyaher nofle b'gehenim. And anyone who has arrogance is going to fall into gehenim. Shenemer zeid yahir leitz shemo, Osa be'evra zadon, ve'ein evra el gehenim. It says that a yahir is going to go into evras zadon, and evra we know is gehenim, shenemar yom evra hayom ahu. So we see that they're only doing it kedei lehisyaher. The Rishonim and Achronim discuss whether Rambam Gamliel is really adding anything to the previous two answers. Right, what was the previous answer? Kedei shetimashech malchusan, kedei leskadel bo. What's really the difference between those ideas and the idea of lehisyaher? So the Marsha says that Rambam Gamliel is simply building off of. He's got coming to be mefarish Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yeshua. They said l'skadli mashich malchusan that for a Jew would be mutter in that ofen, and for a guy would be called the chotei, because the goyim are not mevakshin for gidul shanim and hemshich malchusan except for lehisyaher, meaning when a Jew asks for those same things of lahamshich malchusan and l'skadli bo, it's not stam for own gaiva, it's to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, similar to what the Adrama said. But when the guy asks for those things that are to extend the malchus and to become greater, they're doing it dafka for the sense of yuara, for a sense of gaiva. So he's actually not saying a third pshat, he's just explaining the others. Rambam Gamliel then said, we still haven't heard from Rabbi Elazar HaMudai. Everyone's giving their pshatim in what the pasuk means. What does Rabbi Elazar HaMudai have to say about this? So Rabbi Elazar HaMudai Omer, so Rabbi Elazar HaMudai then speaks up and he says a fourth pshat. Tzedakah Teromim Gai, Elu Yisrael, Dechsiv Mikamcha Yisrael, Gai Echad. He translates the first part of the pasuk the same way everyone else did. V'chesed l'umim chatas, kol tzedakah v'chesed sha'akum osin, chetu lahen. Any tzedakah v'chesed that non-Jews do is considered an avera for them. She'ein osin ela l'charif osanu bo, because they're only doing it to be able to mock us and to make us look bad. She'nemar v'yavo v'yas Hashem kasher diber ki chatasun l'Hashem v'lo shamatim mekolo. Right, that the pasuk confirms this point that they're doing it for the wrong reasons, and therefore it's considered a chet for them. They're doing it in order to make Klal Yisrael look bad. Then Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana va'amar. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana then spoke up and said a fifth pshat, and he said as follows: Tzedakah Teromim Gai v'Chesed LiYisrael. The way to read the pasuk is not Tzedakah Teromim Gai. Kama v'chesed l'umchatas. No, it's tzedakah tromim goy v'chesed. That's kama tzedakah tromim goy v'chesed. So tzedakah and chesed are both tromim goy. And who's that talking about? L'Yisrael. That's for the Jewish people. And l'umim chatas. The idea of l'umim chatas. That's for the non-Jews. So Amalan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "L'talmidav sus talmidim near and divrei Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana midvarai umidivreichem." I think Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana has got it better than me and you. He has the best pshat. Ulfi shehunos in tzedakah v'chesed liYisrael. He attributes both tzedakah and chesed to Klal Yisrael. Ula'akum chatas, and to the non-Jews, all he contributes is chatas, as opposed to everyone else who said tzedakah teromim goy, kama, the chesed umim chatas, that chesed also relates to the umim. He said, no, the only thing that relates to the umim is chatas. Mechal duhunami, Amar says the Gemara, wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai just said that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's pshat is better than his own pshat, and better than everybody else's pshat. That implies that he had his own pshat. What was his own pshat? He never said his own pshat yet. So, Mechlal, the Hunami Omar, Maihi, where's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's pshat? So, the Tanya the following, and this is the sixth and final pshat. Amlan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Keshem Shachatas Mechaperes al Yisrael, Kach Tzedakah Mechaperes al Umos Ha'olam. Just like the Karban Chatas serves as a kapara for our Averos, when the Umos Ha'olam gives Tzedakah, it serves as a kapara for their averos. So it's not that their tzedakah is a bad thing, that it's a chatas. No, it's not that it's a chet. It's a chatas. It's a korban chatas. It's not an avera. Adrabah, it's a kapara. It's a good thing for them when they give tzedakah. And that leads us right into the next sugya about accepting tzedakah from non-Jews, about whether we should aid them in achieving their kapara and getting the schar that they're going to be getting for giving the tzedakah, if in fact they're going to be getting great schar for it. It's not considered to be an avera. So says the Gemara, Ifru Hormuz imid Shvar Malcha. Ifru Hormuz was the mother of King Shvar. Shadra arba mea dinri likamid Rabbi Ami velo kablinu. She sent 400 dinars to Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami refused to accept it. Shadrinu kamid Rava vekablinu mishum shalom malchus. She then sent it to Rava, and Rava was mekabel the money for the sake of shalom malchus. Shamar Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami heard that the gift that he turned down to give to the Aniyim, Rava accepted, and Ichmed, he got very upset. You know, it makes him look bad if the next rabbi over is going to say that it's okay to accept this money, and accept the money, and Rabbi Ami didn't. He said, isn't Rava going against enough in a pasuk? He's selling out. There's a pasuk that says that you're supposed to biavish katsirati shabarna. Rashi says means kishetichle zuchus shabiyadan v'yivish lachluchus meisat stakash shalhen oz yishaberu. How are we going to break the Umas HaOlam? How are we going to overcome the Umas HaOlam when all the moisture, any lachluchas, any hint of tzedakah that they do finally dries out? That's when they can be broken. But only once that dries out, if we keep on accepting tzedakah from them, we keep on allowing them to amass these zechuyos by giving tzedakah, we have no chance against them. So why was Rava accepting tzedakah from them? So for Rava did it mishum shalom alchus. He felt it was necessary for the sake of shalom. Rabbi Ami nami mishum shalom alchus. Why didn't Rabbi Ami accept it? Isn't he aware of the reason of shalom alchus? So Rabbi Ami would say, you're right, you're allowed to accept it, Mishum Shalom Alchus, but at least you should have given it to non-Jewish Aniyim. Don't give it to Jewish Aniyim. So why didn't Rava think of that? So for Rava Nami, L'Aniyah of the Chav Mi'avinu, Rava did in fact give it to non-Jewish Aniyim. Whoever said he gave it to Jewish Aniyim, he distributed this money to non-Jews. Rabbi Ami de Ikbit, so then why was Rabbi Ami upset at him? No, Hudilo Simur Kameh. It's because Rabbi Ami was unaware that Rava had given it to non-Jewish Aniyim. He was told that Rava gave it to Jewish Aniyim. So someone came to Rabbi Ami and said, oh, you know that gift you threw down? Well, Rava accepted it and Rava gave it to Jewish Aniyim. And it was a half-truth. Rava had accepted it, but he had given it to non-Jewish Aniyim, and therefore Rabbi Ami had no reason to be upset at Rava. Now, the Rambam writes very interestingly, based on this Gemara, what would you say? Can you accept money from a non-Jew for tzedakah? The answer would be yes, as long as you give it to non-Jewish Aniyim, and then you can distribute it to non-Jewish Aniyim, and you're fine. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Melachos Perek Yud Halacha Yud, Ben Noach sheratza lasos mitzvah mishar mitzvah satorah kedei lekabel schar, a Ben Noach who wants to do any mitzvah in the Torah in order to receive reward, ein monino so la asosa kilchasa, we don't stop him from doing it properly, vim hevi ola mekablin mimenu, and if he brings carbonola, we accept it, nasan tzedaka mekablin mimenu, if he gives tzedaka, we accept it from him, v'yira eli shenosin oso la aniye Yisrael. And it seems to me, says the Rambam, we give it to the Jewish poor when a guy gives tzedakah. Since he has a mitzvah to support the Jewish poor as well. But an akum who gives tzedakah, you only give it to aniyeh of the kochavim. So that's what I'm saying. It sounds like a stira. First he says a guy gives tzedakah, you give it to Aniyei Yisrael. Fine, give it to Jewish poor people. Then he says an akum gives tzedakah, you give it to Aniyei Yisrael. So what in the world is that about? Why the chiluk between, what's he talking about? What's the chiluk between a guy and an akum? What difference, aren't they two words that mean the same thing? So the Radvaz answers that the chiluk is that the Rambam at first was talking about a guy who's mekabel sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach. A guy who's mekabel sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, him you can accept tzedakah from and even give it to Aniyei Yisrael. But a guy who is not mekabel sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, that's what Rambam calls an akum, and from him, if you accept the tzedakah, you can only give it to Aniyei of the Chavim, you cannot give it to Aniyei Yisrael. That's how the Radvaz understands. That's the difference between an akum and a regular guy. Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he understands the chiluk differently. The Tzitz Eliezer was asked, a major donor had given a gift to Shari Tzedek. And since Eliezer was the Rav of the Shari Tzedek Hospital, and they wanted to know, it turned out the donor was a non-Jew, and they wanted to know, were they allowed to accept that gift for the hospital? Are you allowed to give, if it's all Jewish patients and it's a Jewish hospital, are they allowed to accept the gift from this major donor? Maybe you have to be choshish, be avish katsira tishabarna, that you have to dry up their zuchus of tzedakah. If we ever want to get out of galus, we need to dry up their zuchus of tzedakah. So maybe we shouldn't accept the gift. So Tzitz Eliezer says, well, you forgot to tell me one thing. What religion do they practice? Tzitz Eliezer understands the difference between the Rambam's Goy and the Rambam's Akum, whereby the Goy you can take the tzedakah and give it to Jews, by the Akum you can't, is that an Akum is someone who's Ovid Avodah Zarah. A guy is someone who's a guy. He's not Ovid Avodah Zarah. So according to the Tzitz Eliezer, if he practices a religion that wouldn't be defined by halacha as Avodah Zarah, you'd be allowed to accept the money from him. Very much more lenient than the Radvaz. Radvaz says to be allowed to accept the money from him, he has to be mekabel sheva mitzvos. How many goyim are Noahide? Right? There aren't that many of them. So you have such a concept. Tzitz Eliezer says, no, the chilek is between Ovid Avodah Zarah and someone who's not Ovid Avodah Zarah. It's a fascinating tshuva. So he says that if as long as they're not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, it would be mutter. And then he says, but if they want their name on the building, that would be a bigger problem. Because then to put to give them that kavod, to give them that ability, l'hisyaher, that's what the Gemara says is a chetu lahem, right? That's aiding them in doing an avera. You don't want that. Even though technically we're allowed to put names on the sides of buildings, and the Rishonim will say that in Paskin Shulchan Aruch, I think that you're allowed to give. That's part of our almanash yichya bini, that you're allowed to give tzedakah, even though there's going to be some covered that comes with it. Okay, the Kesef Mishnah, just one other ha'ara, points out that in our sugya, Rava took the money for Shalom Malchus. Sounds like had it not been for Shalom Malchus, even you wouldn't be allowed to take it at all, even to give it to Aniye Akum. The Rambam sounds like he's saying that if a guy, if an Akum gives you tzedakah, so you can take it and just give it to Aniye Akum. What do you mean if an Akum gives you tzedakah, take it and just give it to Aniye Akum? Our Gemara said that Rava only took it because of Shalom Malchus. It's the Shalom Malchus that he took it for. So how are we going to answer up our Gemara versus how are we going to answer up the Rambam in light of our Gemara? So a couple of possibilities. Number one, Lech Mishnah explains that the Rambam explained in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim that you're only allowed to accept for Shalom Malchus. That's a baseline. And in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim is where the Rambam gives most of the laws of tzedakah. Over here in Hilchos Malachim, he's just alluding to some basic halachos. But the Rambam very often does that. It's Divrei Torah Aniyim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher. Sometimes he'll only mention a couple of things, but he's much more clear elsewhere, and that's the way the Rambam wrote his book. So you're supposed to understand when you read the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim that of course you're not going to accept this money from a guy unless there's a situation of Shalom Malchus, and the Rambam wrote so explicitly in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim already. He already wrote, Umelech Osar Min Akum Shashalach Mamun Yisrael Tzedakah Ein Machzirnos Olo Mishum Shalom Malchus. That when you accept money from a guy for tzedakah, you only accept it because of the sake of Shalom Malchus. We just had that in the Tuesday night show when we were discussing the famous stira in the Rambam about kavana and davening. That in one place the Rambam says that any davening that doesn't have kavana is worthless. And another place the Rambam says, if you don't have kavana for the first bracha, so you're going to have to repeat. But if you don't have kavana through the rest of Shemona Esrei, then that's no problem. You're not going to have to repeat Shemona Esrei. So Reb Chaim has this fantastic chiddush to try to be miyashiv the Rambam. Chaznish says, you don't need any fantastic chiddush. The Rambam he's explaining more in one place what he didn't explain in the other place. So obviously when he said it's not a tefillah, he meant that within certain guidelines. What are those guidelines? First bracha, it's ma'akev. After that, it's not going to be ma'akev. So similarly over here, Rav Vadya in the Tshuva and Chelek Zayin of Yabia Omer has a different teretz to our Rambam. He says, based on the following, he says that we're not choshesh for the din of not being mekabel tzedaka from aniyim, from gayim, because of yavish k'sir tishabarna, except for when it's being mekabel from a king. Meaning, what's the issue? Why is there a problem of being mekabel tzedakah from Gayim? Because we don't want their malchus to extend. We don't want them to have this extra zechus. We want to be able to break out of galus. Well, who's putting us in galus? It's the kings. It's the leadership. But stam, an individual guy who wants to give tzedakah, so goes into, hey, that's not going to be a problem for us. So the Rambam is talking about stam, a regular guy who wants to do a mitzvah. Rambam talks about a regular guy, decides he's interested in doing a mitzvah, and he wants to give tzedakah. So good, you could accept it from him. If he's an Ovid Kochavim, distribute it to Aniyeh of the Kochavim. If he's stam a guy, you could even distribute to Aniyeh Yisrael. When the Gemara says that Rava wouldn't accept, because who was giving it? It was the Melech. If Rehum is Eimud Shvar Malcha. And when it's the Melech, then you have to worry, because then you have the concern that maybe that Zechus is going to keep their Malchus going. And if it keeps their Malchus going, it's just going to extend our Galus. That's how their Miyashev, that's how Rav Yosef is Miyashev the Rambam. Beautiful Ha'ara. It sounds, the Biri Adav over here points out, that the Meiri says a little bit, the Meiri seems to say the opposite Chilik. Ravadi says, when it comes to accepting from a melech, that's where you have a problem. Accepting from an individual is fine. The Meiri is mashma that from a regular stam joe guy, you're not allowed to accept that at all. It's only mishum melech, it's only by a melech that you're allowed to accept that at all because of shalom malchus. I mean, the heter of shalom malchus only applies to a king. When it's a non-king, you don't have any heter whatsoever. The exact opposite of Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya says, you only need the heter of Shalom Malchus when it comes to a king. When it comes to someone who's not a king, you don't need any heter. It's mutter anyway. So the Meiri seems to say the exact opposite of Rav Avadya's Var, of Rav Avadya's Chiddush. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Tanya, top line Yeralf and Ralph. Tanya, Amru Alav al Binyamin HaTzadik. They said about Binyamin HaTzadik, Shayim Amun al Kupa Shal Tzedakah. He was in charge of the Tzedakah funds. Pamach has basa isha the father of Bishnei Betzores. One time, a woman came to him in years of famine. Amrlo, and she said, "Rebbe, parnaseini, Rebbe, I need you to support me." Amrlo, havod hashem bekupashal tzedakah klum. He said, "I'm sorry, the account is empty. We have nothing in the kupashal tzedakah." Amrlo, Rebbe, you may not tam parnaseini. Hare isha v'shiva bnei amesim. He said, "Rebbe, if you don't support me and my seven children are going to die. So are you sure you want to make that decision that you don't want to support me?" So Amr appeared in Mishlo. So he got up and he took out of his own money. There was no money in the Tzedakah fund. He wasn't lying, but he took from his own money to be mefarnesir. Frekta the Marsha, why didn't he do that in the first place? Right here, in Nebuch, a woman is desperate, and he's only offering to give from the Tzedakah fund, and the Tzedakah fund is empty. He's going to turn her away. Why didn't he take out of pocket in the first place? So the Marsha doesn't answer this, but I think just as someone who runs a charity account, I could tell you that if you're constantly taking out, I made the same mistake. If you're constantly taking out of your own pocket, you're going to end up with nothing. I mean, you feel terrible for people. If you view it as your own chiv tzedakah, as opposed to you as the administrator of the account, and when the account is empty, you're going to have people lining up, and you're going to keep on, because they're not viewing you as an individual. They view you as the administrator of the account. So they're going to be lining up, expecting significant donations, and you're going to feel terrible, and you're going to want to continue to give them. So it's not a healthy habit. The better habit to do is to know how much you're able to give that to the account, to the charity account, and then distribute from the charity account. And look, when there's nothing. But when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, Isha V'Shiva B'nei HaMesim, they're going to die, so then you dip into your own pocket, even though you're an administrator of a charity account. I think it's a double pashut. I don't understand the Marsha's Kasha. Anyway, Liyamim Chala B'nata L'maves. At a later date, Binyamin HaTzadik got sick and he was about to die. Amru Malachi Asharis Sfnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malachi Asharis said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Ata Marta, you said. What do you mean, you said? So says Rashi, Mitaras Chalamadnu. From your Torah we learn that anyone who's Mekayim a single soul in Israel is as if he was Mekayim an entire world. And this Binyamin HaTzadik, who has allowed this woman and her seven children to survive, is going to die in such a short time. It's as if you support an entire world. Why shouldn't he be able to live? He deserves to live. Miad Karlo Gzardino. And immediately his Gzardin was ripped up. And they added an extra 22 years onto his life as a result of that. Why Dafka 22 years? What's significant about that number? So the Torah Chaim explains that that's the number of letters in the Torah, the number of letters in the Aleph Beis. And this is a remes to being Mekayim in Olam Malay. It's like being Mekayim the entire world, all the letters of the Aleph Beis, all the letters that make up the Torah. The Chassam Sofer says that no, had she and her seven children died, that would have been the end of her family, right? They never would have had the opportunity to have children, to have a next generation. By him being Mekayim, her and her seven children, each of her seven children is now going to be able to extend to the next generation. What do we consider the minimum requirement of extending to the next generation? What's the mitzvah of Puravu? To have one boy, one girl, to have two children. One boy, one girl, that's the requirement of Puravu. So says Chassam Sofer, very sharp. She had seven children. Now each of those seven children are going to be able to be Mekayim Puravu, or they're going to be able to be Mamshechan to the next generation. That's going to be another 14 children, right? 14 grandchildren. So 14 grandchildren plus seven children plus her is 22. So he actually allowed for 22 people to be able to make it, and therefore it was 22 years on his lifespan. That's how the Chassam Sofer says. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa b'Munvas HaMelech shebizbez yotrosa va'otzos havosa b'shnei b'tzores. Story happened with Munvas HaMelech. He started spending all of his treasury and all of his the treasury that his fathers had saved during years of famine, in order to be able to support people. The Chivra Lavachav Beis Aviv and the people in his family were pretty upset at him. Vamrulo, and they said to him, Avosecha Ganzav Osifu Al Shem Avosam. Your fathers, what everyone always did was that they padded the treasury. They came in and there was $50 million, they left and there was $75 million. They made it bigger and bigger. Vatam Avazvazam, and here you go, and you're just spending it all away. Amar Lahem, he responded to them as follows. Many, many responses, but they're all the same idea. Avosai Ganzu Lamata Vaniga. They were putting stuff away for down here. I'm putting away for upstairs. Shenemer emes meretz tismach v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. Avosai ganzu b'makom shayat shaletes bo. They were putting away money in a place that's vulnerable to people being able to take it. V'aniga nasti b'makom shayin ayat shaletes bo. I'm putting away the money in a place where no one could take it. Up in Shemayim, where we're getting the mitzvos and the schar. Shenemer tzedek u'mishpat machon kisecha. Avosai ganzu davar sheinos aperos. They put away something that doesn't make any peros. V'aniga nasti davar sheosa peros. I'm putting away something that is also peros, that makes peros. Shemar amrut tzadik ki tov ki prima aleim yochelu, that it makes peros in Olam Haba when you give tzedakah. Avos ganzu otzos mamon v'aniganasi otzos nefashos. They're putting away otzos of mamon. I'm putting away otzos of nefashos. Shemar pri tzadik eitz chayim lokech nefashos chacham. Avos ganzu la'acherim. They were putting away for other people, for later generations of their own family. V'aniganasi liatzmi. I'm putting away for myself. Shemar l'chad. It's my mitzvah. Avosai ganzu liolam hazeh, v'aniga nasi liolam haba. They put away for olam hazeh, I put away for olam haba. Shnemar v'haluch v'nechat tzkecha, kavod Hashem yasfecha. So he says, I'm pretty confident and happy with what I'm doing, that I'm doing the right thing, I'm being gonez in the right place. So the Marsha is bothered. One of the things that he mentions over here is that he's being gonez something that's osa peros. Says the Marsha, that don't we have a Mishnah, first Mishnah in Maseches Peah, where the Mishnah says El Dvarim Shaldim Ochel Perasom Ol Mazeh VaKeren Kayem Salam Aba, and Tzedakah is not on the list. But over here it sounds that Tzedakah is also Peros. So shouldn't Tzedakah be one of the things that's on the list that's also Peros? So the Marsha answers that Tzedakah is on the list, it's included in Gemilas Chasadim, and Gemilas Chasadim is already mentioned on the list. But the Beis Halevi in his first Drasha, and the Drasha's Beis Halevi in his Drush L'Tzedakah, Beis Halevi says that that Teretz doesn't really sit well with him. Because the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, Daf Mem Tes, says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gedolo Gemilas Chasadim Yoser Minat Tzedakah. Gemilas Chasadim is greater than Tzedakah, implying that they're two separate categories, they're two separate things. When Chazal used the phrase Gemilas Chasadim, they do not mean to include Tzedakah in the phrase Gemilas Chasadim. So don't tell me it's already on the list. So says the Beis Halevi a different pshat. Says the Beis Halevi Vim Kain, Habahachuv the Dimunvaz Lohoya Mitzvah Tzedakah Lechuda, Ragam Pikuach Nefashos. You know why it was also Peros over here? It wasn't just the mitzvah of tzedakah that he was doing. It was Pikuach Nefesh. He was saving lives. Pikuach Nefesh, of course, is also Peros. Any mitzvah that you do that through the process of doing that mitzvah saves lives, of course, is going to be also Peros. The mitzvah of tzedakah that we talk about that's not also Peros is to get him a sus laritz lefanav or whatever, eretz, sus lirkov alav eved laritz lefanav, is to give him whatever tzedakah is going to get him back to his former wealth, but not to keep him alive. Whatever tzedakah is going to keep a person alive, that tzedakah obviously is going to be also peros. So that's why tzedakah is not mentioned on the list, because typically for the mitzvah of tzedakah alone, it's not something that's also peros. That ha'ara that the Beis Halevi makes also is mitaretz. Another very important question. He was mevazveis kol otrosav. He was spending all the money, giving it all away to tzedakah. Doesn't the Maran Ksubas tell us hamevazveis al yevazveis yosir michalmesh, that you're not supposed to ever give away more than 20%? That if you give away more than 20%, that's usher to do, because shema ye'ani v'yitzarech lebrios, we're afraid you're going to become poor and you're going to need to collect tzedakah yourself. So how is he allowed to give away so much? You're not allowed to give away more than 20%. Ah, but the Beis Halevi points out, no, it's not just tzedakah over here. Over here it's pikuach nefesh. To save a life, you can give anything to save a life. Because what? Shemi Yani v'Tzarech Lebrios, maybe you're going to become poor and need tzedakah? Well, which is better? That guy's going to be dead or you're going to be poor? Right? Obviously much better to keep another person alive and take the risk. Maybe you'll be poor, maybe you won't. That's one possibility. The other possibility to answer that question of why he's allowed to be Mevazviz Yosem Michamesh is perhaps that a melech is shiny. A melech is different. That when it comes to a melech, I think that's what the Marsha says, that when it comes to a melech, there's no concern Shemi Yani v'Tzarech Lebrios. Why is there no concern Shemi Yani v'Tzarech Lebrios that will become poor? Because he could just charge taxes and that's it, and he's back on top. And the truth is, it's not lav dafka melech. Post can point out that the same is true of anyone who has a steady income. If a person has a job, they have a steady income, you don't have to worry Shemi Ye'ani. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma, the famous story of Hillel, that he would go to the Beis Medrash every day, he'd make tropic b'kol yom, right? He would make a certain amount of money each and every day, and he would give half the money to his family to support, and half the money to be able to go learn Torah in the Beis Medrash. And one day he didn't have the money, and he ended up on the skylight listening, and the snow came down. Right, we know the story, but he gave half the money to go to do a mitzvah. What about Mevazveis al yevazveis yosir michalmesh? Says the Bir Halacha, he had a steady income. Every day he made that same amount of money. So when you have a steady income, we're not worried Shemei Yani v'Yitzarech Lebrios, because you have more money coming in tomorrow. It's only when you don't have a steady income that we have to worry Shemei Yani v'Yitzarech Lebrios. So that's a possible explanation of a possible exception to Mevazveis. There are other exceptions. Mark Subastav Samach Zayin tells us in the Tzedakah Sugi over there, tells us that one of the Amoraim, I think Marukva, on his deathbed gave it all away. Gave away all of his money on his deathbed. You don't have to worry, Shemi Yanavi Yitzarech Lebrios. He's going to be in a different place. So again, there are several exceptions to that rule. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayter. How long do you have to live in a city to be considered a resident of that city? If you buy a house in that city, it's immediate. So Masnisa, very, very similar to mezuzah, right? If you buy a house, so right away you have a chiyuv mezuzah. You don't have any grace period if you bought a house. If you're renting, so you have a little grace period. So same over here. So Masnisa and Dolok Ramashim Gamliel, our mission is against Ramashim Ben Gamliel. The Tanya Ramashim Ben Gamliel Lomer Im Kana Bakarka Kolshu Hareu Kanshei Eir, that if you buy a little bit of karka, you're already considered a resident of that city. You don't have to buy a house. V'atanya Ramashim Ben Gamliel Lomer Im Kana Sham Karka Ru'il Beis Dira Hareu Kanshei Eir. But wait a second, didn't Ramashim Ben Gamliel tell us it's not good enough to buy karka kolshu? You need to buy enough karka to be able to build a house on it. So Trei Tanaim V'alib Ramashim Ben Gamliel. It's two Tanaim, and they argue about what Ramashim Ben Gamliel in fact said. Says the Mishnah Vayter now, we're done with the Agarata for a little while at least. You don't divide a chatzer unless each person is going to be able to receive Dalet Amos, because there's no sense in dividing a chatzer where neither person is going to be able to have full hishtamshus on their side of the chatzer. If you give a person, if the whole chatzer is only 3 Amos, and each person takes an Amos and a half, they can't do anything in it. That's a bad example. If the whole chatzer is only 6 Amos, and each person only takes 3 Amos, they're not going to be able to do anything in it, because a minimum size of a chatzah that's considered useful is 4 amos, very similar to the minimum size of a room that's considered useful, of a bayis that's considered useful, and it's going to be chayv and mezuzah, that it's got to be 4 amos. And you probably have the same discussions that Rishonim discuss over here. What if it's not 4 amos this way, but it's not 4 amos wide, but it's 4 amos long? Let's say it's 10 by 2 amos. So it's 20 square amos, which is bigger than 4 by 4, right? Each person is going to get 10 by 2. Is that good enough? So you have those same discussions in Hilchos Mezuzah, whether that's considered a royal adira when you have something that's the shaped oddly. So anyway, you don't split a sada unless each person gets 9 calves. Until each person gets 9 half calves. You don't split a garden unless each person is going to be able to get at least a half a calf. Rabbi Akiva Omer base rova. Rabbi Akiva says all you need is each person to get a base rova. Velos a traklin, velos a morin, velos a shovach, velos a talis, velos a merchats, velos a bad, velos a Shalachin, Ad Sheben, Kedel Zeh, Kedel Zeh. Whatever you're dividing, you have to make sure that each person gets a useful half. If we're partners in something, I can't force you to split it with me unless the half that each of us are going to get is going to be useful. Whether we're talking about a garment, whether we're talking about a bird's nest, all the examples, a bathhouse, olive press, all the different things that are mentioned over here. Zeh Klal. Anything that if you divide it, it's still called by its original title, right? We divide this garment, people still say, ah, that's a talis, right? They don't say, that's a shmata. So then you're allowed to divide it. Then one guy can force the other guy to divide it. But if it's something that's going to lose its shame by cutting it up into two, by dividing it into two, then you don't divide it. Amos, Ibizman, Chain, Shneim, Rotsim. When do we say you don't divide it? That's if they both don't agree to divide it. If they're both in agreement, so look, if they're both interested in taking a talis and each getting a shmata, cutting it up into two and each getting a shmata, so gesunta hate, if they're both in agreement, why not? Let them do that. With one exception, when it comes to kisvei hakodesh, when it comes to scrolls that have sifrei tanach in it, even if they both agree and they'll say, okay, I'll take Torah, you take Nevi'im, Ksuvim, even if they both agree, you don't divide Kisvei HaKodesh. You don't split Kisvei HaKodesh. I'll take Nevi'im Rishonim, you take Nevi'im Achronim. No, we don't split it up. We don't cut it up, even though they both agree. Fine. Says Gemara, Amar Abasi, Amar Biyochanan. Arba Amos Shamru Chutz Mishal Pesachim. The four Amos that we're talking about, that each person has to receive in the Chatzar, means outside of the doorways. Tanya Nam Yachi. And that's why we have a brisa that says that you only divide a chatzar if there is going to be 8 amos for each person. Why? 4 amos for the Pesach and 4 amos in the guf hachatzar that they need. But doesn't our Mishnah say that as long as it's 4 amos for each person is good enough? So we say El Shmaminah, Rabbi Asi Shmaminah. So you see, that's a riot, Rabbi Asi, that it's 4 amos besides for the 4 amos that you need right by the door. Vika Dramilu Mirma, some phrase it as a stira. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Ein Cholken Hatzchatzar, it's the same conversation, they just come in a more attacking mode. Ein Cholken Hatzchatzar, Ad Sheba Arba Amos Lezeh, Arba Amos Lezeh. Our Mishnah says you don't divide a chatzar unless each person is going to get Dalet Amos, Vatan Yishmon Amos Lezeh, Shmon Amos Lezeh. But doesn't the Brisa say each person needs to get 8 Amos? So Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, Arba Amos Shom, Ruchutz Mishal Pesachim. So that's when Rabbi Asi comes and saves the day. He says, no, when we say 4 Amos, we mean besides for the 4 Amos you can get by the doorways. Amrav Hunu, Chatzar Mishalekas Lufi Pesacheha. You divide a chatzar based on the amount of doorways in it. Rav Chista Amar, Nosna Arba Amos Lekal Pesach, Pesach Vashar Cholkim Rishave. You don't divide a chatzar based on the amount of doorways. You give 4 Amos for each doorway, and then the rest of the chatzar, you divide evenly. So if you have, let's say, 3 doorways in the chatzar, 2 belonging to the same person. So if you would divide the whole chatzar based on the doorways, one guy would get 2/3 of the chatzar, the other one would get 1/3 of the chatzar. If you give 4 amos for each doorway, let's say the chatzar is thousands of amos, you just give 4 amos to this doorway, 4 amos to that doorway, 4 amos to that doorway, and then the rest you divide right down the middle. So the guy who has the 2 doorways is only going to end up with 4 amos more than the other guy, not with double what the other guy has. So that's the difference. Tani kavasi drav chisu, we have a raya, a brisa that supports of chisu, psachim shav chatzar yesh lan 4 amos, that each pesach in the chatzar gets dalet amos. Hayu lezeh pesach echad lezeh shnei psachim. If one guy has 1 doorway, one guy has 2 doorways, zeh sheyesh lo pesach echad notel 4 amos, vezeh sheyesh lo shnei psachim notel 8 amos. Vashar cholkin mishava. The one who has 1 pesach gets 4 amos, the one who has 2 psachim gets 8 amos, and the rest of it they divide evenly. Hayu lezeh pesach rachav 8 amos, notel 8 amos kenegad pesach, v'4 amos b'chatzar. If a guy has a doorway that's 8 amos wide, he takes 8 amos across the whole width of the doorway, plus he gets 4 amos in the chatzar. The Gemara assumes this means plus he gets 4 random amos somewhere in the middle of the chatzar. So frek the Gemara, what? 4 amos b'chatzar, maya v'detayu. Why would he just get 4 random amos in the middle of the chatzar? So I'm Rabbi Yehachi Kamer, no, what it means says as follows. Note, 8 amos b'orach ha-chatzar, v'arba amos b'rochav ha-chatzar. He gets 8 amos across the length of his doorway, plus 4, and across that full 8 amos, he gets 4 amos into the chatzar. It's 8 by 4. It's not stam, 4 separate amos in the middle of the chatzar. Amar Amemer, hai pira de sufli. This pira de sufli, which Rashi says, is someone who has a chafira, a ditch that is dug in the middle of the chatzar, where they put date seeds in it for the animals to eat from. So if he has such an area in the chatzar where animals eat from, yesh la arba amos kol ruach v'ruach, he's entitled to the the four amos on all sides of that ditch. That's only if he doesn't have a separate, distinct Pesach designated for using that ditch. But if he has a designated doorway for it, then he only gets the four amos by that Pesach. He's not going to have four amos on all sides if this ditch has a specific Pesach that's supposed to be for it. Achsadra, a porch, doesn't get dalet amos in front of it. Because after all, why do we give the four amos? Because when you come home from shopping, you need to unload the car and unload the donkey. You need space. So you need four amos that are going to be yours to load and unload. But if you have an achsadra, just bring the donkey into the achsadra. It's a driveway, right? Bring your car into the driveway and unload from there. What do you need four amos on the public property? Asks Rav Sheshes, but wait a second. Didn't we learn that Shari Achsadros do get dalet amos? Now, kitanya hiba achsadra de beirav. That's only talking about an achsadra de beirav. That's where you get dalet amos, because achsadra de beirav had walls all around it. You couldn't bring your car or your donkey into the achsadra de beirav to unload. So that's why it gets an extra dalet amos into the chatzer. But a regular achsadra, which is wide open and doesn't have walls, you could just bring doesn't have four walls, you could bring the donkey right in. Frankly, Mark, achsadra de beirav pshita dronam aliyahu. Of course, achsadra de beirav, you're going to get four additional amos. It's just a room. Achsadra Be'rav, it had four walls. It was just the walls were a little bit lower, and they had windows on all the sides. So what do you mean? So of course Achsadra Be'rav, it's davar pashut. Elab Achsadra Maisa. No, we're talking about Achsadra Maisa, which had walls, but the walls were really low. The walls didn't reach the ceiling, and therefore one could have assumed, one might have thought that you can slap your animal in there and unload there, Chamash Malin, that you cannot. So the Achsadra Be'rav had higher walls, but it was surrounded by windows. It was just airy because it had all these windows. The Achsadra Maisa had very low walls, and I might have thought you could bring your car in there and unload in there. Tan Rabban, Beishar Achsadra Marpesas, Yeshlem Dalet Amos. Beishar Achsadra Marpesas, all get four Amos. Hayu Chamisha Batim Sukhum Marpeset, Einlem Ela Dalet Amos Pulvad. If you have five houses that all open into the same Marpesas, you only get four Amos for that one Marpeset. If you have a chicken coop where you're going to need to constantly be bringing new chickens in, taking chickens out, do you get four amos around it so you could have space to load? The chickens can jump in themselves. It doesn't take a lot of space to unload chickens because they'll just hop up on the fence and jump right in. If you have a house that's half roof and half of it doesn't have a roof, do you get four amos? Meaning, do you say, just go into the half that doesn't have a roof, bring your car in there, your donkey in there, and that's where you could unload. It doesn't have a roof, it's wide open. Or do we say no, that you're not expected to do that? Amalei ein lo dalet amos. Says you don't get four amos, you got to use your house itself to unload. Lomi ba'i kiruim ilagav, dev shadai ilagavayu mefarik. And not only if the roofed half is deeper into the house, where clearly you could just go to the outer part of the house and be mefarik, el afilu kiruim klapei chutz, dev shadai ilagavayu mefarik. Even if the roofed half is on the outside, we assume you have to schlep all the way to the inside of the house in order to be mefarik, in order to unload your bundles. If one guy in the Mavoi wants to change his doorway, his backyard and front yard are border on two separate Mavuos. So right now, his front yard goes into Mavoi A. He wants to do some construction. He wants his front yard to be by Mavoi B, right? He wants his doorway to be by Mavoi B. Can the people in Mavoi B stop him? Amalei b'nei Mavoi Makfinov says, yes, the b'nei Mavoi B can stop him. Achsanya l'fnei b'nei Adam mischalekas, l'fi p'sachim mischalekas. The achsanya, which is the king would impose on the b'nei Yair to provide hospitality to his troops. So is that divided, when we divide up how many troops go where, is that divided based on the amount of people living in your house or based on the amount of doors? So amalei l'fi b'nei Adam mischalekas, based on the amount of people. The zevel, the manure that's left out in the chatzar, gets divided based on the amount of doorways in the chatzar, because people throw the garbage out of the door and it ultimately turns into zevel. And achsanya is divided based on b'nei adam. If one of the b'nei mavoi wants to close off right the area right near his doorway, Bnei Mavi Ma'akfin Alav, Shemar Balei Nesedar. The other Bnei Mavi can stop him from doing so because he's going to cause extra crowding in the Mavi. Rashi says this means he wants to take his Dalar Amos that he's entitled to and build a fence around that. And the other Bnei Mavi can say no because it makes it less spacious. Tulsa says, what are you talking about? Those Dalar Amos, that's by a Chatzah, it's not by a Mavi. You don't get Dalar Amos in a Mavi. Tulsa says, no, we're talking about a guy who lives in the last house on the dead end and he wants to build a fence around his property that cuts off the end of the dead end. And the rest of the people in that dead end street are allowed to say, no, you're not allowed to do that, even though we never go there because only your house is down there. But sometimes when there are big crowds from the Rosh Hashanah, they spill over into our Mavoi and they're going to end up down the block all the way by you. And if you fence that off, they're just going to end up crowding the rest of our areas, and therefore we're allowed to stop you from doing that. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick it up from Meisvei tomorrow.